We've got 10 reasons you should not get married. You say, well, it's too late. I'm already married. Well, for you, we got encouragement. For those of you who are thinking of getting married, it's the due diligence period. I tell people in due diligence, figure out every reason not to do it. But after you do it, figure out every reason to make it work. That's kind of where we are. And we're going to talk about some practical, meaning I got a friend here to join us. I'll introduce him in a moment. And we're going to help you sort this through. Some reasons not to get married intentionally. By the way, we believe in marriage, okay? So we're kind of putting a spin on this to make you think about some of the things that can be a problem later in marriage. You'll say, yeah, I wish I'd known that. But if you have a young person or maybe yourself thinking about getting married, we hope you'll follow with us here. Along the way. Wouldn't it be nice if you had a resident psychologist that lived right in your house? Wouldn't it be nice? Someone that could just help you sort things through? Well, we sort of have that. Our friend Dr. Todd Linneman, who's president and founder of Relational Advantage, a licensed psychologist, executive coach, a good friend, for many years a part of our ministry, heading up our counseling ministry, has his office right here in the building. And so you always have a psychologist nearby. Todd, how you doing today?
I am doing well. Thank you, Randy.
And you just walked in. I know you've been busy doing your work. And so there's no rest for the weary on this topic. So we want to jump in on this topic. Let me place one of the callers that we've received. And I think Diane sort of sets up her question, sets up what we want to talk about here today and see if we can sort it out. So maybe you have a question for us about getting married, or you have a question about marriage in general, or some things that you would like to think about now at this point. Give us a call, 888-888-1717. But first, let's listen to Diane. She left this comment from Arizona.
I'm 56 years old, and I'm just about ready to start dating again. My marriage lasted only 5 years after 2 years of engagement. We were separated for 5 years before we divorced. It was my idea to separate because of some heavy drinking and abusive situations, and he refused to deal with the issues, and I waited 5 years. It was his idea to divorce. He sent me a letter of divorce, and I signed it. And it's been 4 years now. I haven't dated yet. And I want to understand what intentional dating is and how to do that.
Yeah. I think that's really the question, Todd. We get, when you think about it, the stats are not all that encouraging. About 40% of first marriages end in divorce. And even with the sort of evangelical Bible-believing Christians, it's still like 20% or so.
That's right.
And you wouldn't go out and buy a car that had a 20% chance of breaking down the first 5 years. But, you know, how do we approach this? People are listening and thinking about marriage, or they have their kids thinking about marriage. Where do you get started in this process?
Well, it's critically important to get started with your eyes wide open. The big challenge with that, though, is when we first meet somebody, we don't engage our logic and reason as much as we do our emotion. Mm-hmm. In fact, the first 6 to 9 months of a relationship, a person is literally on what we call a dopamine high. And it's analogous to the high that people might have when they're on cocaine. So when our emotions rule, we kind of get locked out mm-hmm. of logic and reason. And that's one of the reasons why we don't want to get married quickly, because we want that dopamine to diminish, to subside, so we can begin looking at things from not from a subjective view, but an objective view. So we need to give it time so that we're not controlled by our emotions. That's one of the most important things to keep in mind.
And you know, sometimes you have friends or family who see things. Maybe they even said things, and you kind of blow them off because of the dopamine, right? I mean,
that's
you're
right.
Thinking, hey, you don't know, God's in this. And as Christians, we can kind of layer it over with spirituality. Oh, he's a Christian, she's a Christian. This is going to be great and wonderful, but later on, not necessarily so.
That's right.
And we hear that in some other callers we're going to get to today. So time is one thing you're saying is important.
Absolutely. You want to give it time so you get to know this person more objectively. Mm-hmm. You also want to make sure that you do listen to the input of the people that love you most. like you mentioned, it's easy to say, oh, you're not, you don't know her or him like I do. So we really need to listen to them. And if we're not getting support from friends and family, that's a red flag, no doubt about that.
All right. You're welcome to join us on this discussion. We're talking marriage today and reasons not to get married. I'll give you some of my list. I know you brought a list too, Todd, and have you comment on some of my list here I put together a number of years ago. 10 reasons, our intentionals of reasons not to get married. You're welcome to join us, though, on the air by calling 888-888-1717. Number one on my list was don't get married if you are unwilling to put the needs of another person above your own.
That's right. And I would also say that if you are with somebody and you suspect that they're not willing to put your needs above their own, that would be an accurate, piece of wisdom to give to somebody. But yeah, a successful marriage is all about being willing to put the needs of your partner above your own. You see, if both people do that, and that's the way God designed it, no one will have a need go unmet. Mm-hmm. But we don't trust that. We don't put our faith in that. But yes, if you're not willing to sacrifice yourself, your own needs, for the love of your spouse, for the needs of your spouse or partner, not a good time to marry.
You know, I share the fact that you shouldn't get married if you're not mature. Mature people should marry. Of course, not everybody is mature, but the reality is the more mature we are, the better off. Number two on my list of the top 10 reasons not to get married, comment on if you're a person or the person you're marrying easily offended, carries grudges, and unwilling to forgive.
Those qualities will undermine communication, conflict resolution, and emotional attachment every time. This kind of individual, we refer to them as more emotionally driven, oftentimes, again, subjective in their thinking. They can't take on the other person's point of view. So yes, if these are areas that have been pointed out to you and you've got that self-awareness, those need to be addressed before you make that big commitment.
All right, let's listen to some comments coming in on our comment line. And you're welcome to call live, put you on the air here. Maybe you have a question. Maybe you just say, hey, you know, I wish I'd known this before. By the way, we're not intending at the end of this program to say, now I got reasons to get out of this marriage. That's not the point. The point is, if you are married, these are some things to work on, right? And if you're not married, it's some reason, red flags to say, hey, maybe I shouldn't do this. So we want to make it a helpful program. So you're welcome to join in, 888-888-1717. Ashley from Wisconsin had a comment.
I was with somebody for about a decade off and on, and it was one of those things that I'd prayed for a really long time for us to actually be in like a committed relationship, and we just had our ups and downs. And once I finally had my prayers answered, I realized that this person that I had become best friends with and had spent a decade of my life with wasn't really this godly Christian man than I thought he was, and I just decided to I had to like cut off contact with him completely, and I wound up moving to another state about 13 hours away from my home in Arkansas. And for the first time I can say that I actually am enjoying this season of singleness, and instead of trying to look for the next season, I'm just enjoying, you know, I've never been as close to God as I have been here. I've joined the church and I'm involved in the Big Brothers Big Sisters program. One thing about being married is I always, you know, wanted a child. And I think that by me having a little 8-year-old boy in my life, that's kind of God's way of saying that, you know, not right now, but this is what, you know, I can do for you. And that's just been so great. And I've actually introduced him to church. He's never gone before and he likes church and he likes to pray, and, you know, just really inspiring, and I'm just completely happy with my life, and I realize I don't need somebody else to make me feel happy. All I need is God.
Hey, listen, Ashley, great attitude. You've been able to put that into a healthy perspective. Todd, as people are dating, I mean, generally, as you say, the first, 6 to 9 months, we're not really who we really are.
That's right.
And I'm not sure that necessarily people just intentionally say, I want to fool this person, but they may actually believe these things. In other words, they're in a pursuit mode. They're in a relationship building mode. And you're always going to put your best foot forward, your best face forward, your best attitude. And if it's a Christian person, you might put your best Christianity forward when it really isn't coming from your heart. And so what does a person do? I mean, they're dating, and later this bait and switch thing kind of comes up.
Well, it's very natural when we start a new relationship to wear a mask. And that basically means that we're not disclosing completely. And that's perfectly normal. But over time, we need to practice self-disclosure. Take the masks off and say, what you see is what you get. That's the only way we can really make an informed decision. But it's motivated by a lot of things. The fear of being single for your entire life, the fear of, you know, social rejection, the fear of loneliness and unhappiness. So it's amazing what the mind is willing to do in order to rationalize or justify a, you know, an objective bad decision,
yeah,
or a decision that's bad objectively. And so that's how powerful that emotion is, and that drive to want to be connected, to want to have a secure attachment with another human being.
All right. I know you have a list we want to get to in a moment, some reasons not to get married. Hopefully you'll put a positive spin on it here, listener, because in terms of being married, these can be instructional in terms of things to work on. We're going to continue the discussion. You're welcome to come on in and be a part of it. 888-888-1717, live from our Intentional Living studio. Dr. Todd Linneman is here with me today. We're talking about marriage. Marriage is for mature people only. Hi, I'm Dr. Randy Carlson with an Intentional Living Minute. Watching our young granddaughters play wedding is kind of cute because it's only play, but it's tragic when we see young adults have a real wedding, but then only play at their marriage. Paul says, be joyful, grow in maturity, encourage each other, live in harmony and peace. Growing up takes time. It takes stretching. It requires a commitment to build a grown-up marriage relationship that includes forgiveness and love. So if immaturity has infected your marriage, be intentional. Don't fight immaturity with more immaturity. Instead, make a decision to hold each other accountable, live as adults, and be intentional.
Want to be encouraged every day? Get the Intentional Living Minute in your email. Sign up at theintentionallife.com/minute. As you know, everyone is born with unique DNA. Did you know that living an intentional life is connected to a different type of DNA?
The essence of intentional living is that we have a life animated by the spiritual DNA of rebirth in Christ.
In Dr. Randy's teaching, DNA, he takes an in-depth look at how living intentionally and having a deep relationship with Jesus will change how you live your life. When you give a monthly gift to Intentional Living, you'll be a part of a special group that can listen to this message along with unlimited access to all of Dr. Randy's past teachings. So don't wait. Give now and you'll get access to these life-changing resources today by calling 888-888-1717 or visiting theintentionallife.com. That's theintentionallife.com.
Hey, thank you, Kurt. And, you know, we're talking about spiritual DNA in the lesson this month. And I'm using that title because DNA is sort of the foundation. It's the smallest part of who we are, I suppose. And what kind of DNA do we have spiritually? And this is a lesson that's very practical. It applies to your life, to your relationships, to everything that's going on, and how to be intentional. And so I hope you'll take advantage of it. It's up on our website at theintentionallife.com. And all of our teaching, all of the resources that we create, from our books to our lessons to our events, everything is made possible because we have so many wonderful friends all around the country who are praying for us and have caught the vision that reminds us that today, when hearts are tender and looking for hope, that our hope is in Jesus Christ. And then when we choose to live intentionally, because we've been made by a master designer, the Lord Jesus, and a matter of having a goal for us in our life. And so this lesson is very practical and helpful for you and others today. Hey, I just want to say thank you to those of you who are praying for us and are standing with us. Your financial support allows us to do what we do every day. Come and join us. Just go to theintentionallife.com or call 888-888-1717 and press number 2. And thank you for your support. God bless you for standing with us here at Intentional Living.
You're listening to Intentional Living with your host, Dr. Randy Carlson. Intentional Living is furnished by Intentional Life Media and is made possible by the generous support of listeners just like you. This program is not a substitute for professional counseling, medical, financial, or legal advice. Intentional Living is not intended to be therapy by radio, but it is intended to help you live an intentional life in Jesus Christ.
Today we're talking about intentional living in terms of getting married, or if you are married, things to watch out for before you get married. I call it the due diligence period, right? And Dr. Todd Linneman is here in the studio with me. Dr. Linneman is president and founder of Relational Advantage, is a licensed psychologist, executive coach, and a good friend, and keeping really busy with what he does every day, helping families. And Todd, I know you brought along a list of some things you have seen over the years in your practice, to people to watch out for before they get married. We're talking to people before they say, I do. What are some things they should be watching out for?
Well, there's a number of things, Randy, and let me just say that I, like you, have worked with many, many people, both before and after marriage, who have expressed regret, and if they had it over to do it over again, they would do things differently. Some people have recognized that their motivation to get married is to really be a parent, to have children, not so much to be a partner. Some people want a mother or father for their child. Perhaps they've been married before, they have a child without a parent, and that's their motivation. Sometimes people want to get married even though they have high conflict in their relationship. They can't resolve conflict. They find themselves or their partner being defensive and critical and giving the silent treatment. Those are all warning signs that says, before you say I do, say basically, can we get past these things?
In other words, things don't get better after you get married. Whatever is a yellow flag when you're dating is going to be a red flag after.
Well said. Yeah. Absolutely. Things generally only get worse.
Yeah.
That doesn't mean, that they can't be improved upon, they can't be overcome with maturity, et cetera. But generally, no, it's a fallacy to think, oh, things are going to get better. And that's what a lot of people say.
Yeah.
You know what? He struggles with addiction, or she struggles with this bad habit. And once we get married, somehow it's going to miraculously resolve itself.
Mm-hmm.
It only gets worse more often than not.
Yeah. And listen, we've been doing this a long time, Todd, in helping families and things. And we both are solid in our faith. We love the Lord. We believe the Bible to be true. But we got some listeners today who are saying, but you don't understand. I got this guy and I'm getting him to church and he's going to get saved. He's more interested than ever. And, you know, now he's at church and he's made, quote, a profession of faith. And I think we're on the right path and it's going to be great. You know, that was 3 weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
And again, like you said at the beginning, time only tells, you know, is this real? Is this genuine? What's really changed? What does a person do at that point if they say, hey, I see some positive things going on, Todd, I think they're heading in the right direction. What would you recommend?
Well, for the believer, Randy, who's saying that, you know, that information or sharing that information, my counsel to them would be, that's fantastic, that's wonderful, continue to pray for them. But quite frankly, unless you know, and there's fruit to bear this information out, that they're a believer, that they love Christ, mm-hmm. that they love God, do not marry. That's one of the number one regrets I hear when I talk to people who have married an unbeliever.
Mm. All right. Chris from Texas has a question. Welcome to the program, Chris. How can we help you today?
I'm about to get married next month. I'm a single dad. I raised my two daughters, and I'm about to get married to a woman that has three children. They're all young. They're ages from 4, and the oldest is 11. And, you know, we both really try to live a Christ-centered life, but we're having trouble finding any information on, you know, what we should be doing as far as blending the family seamlessly, you know, in Christ. We both feel at peace about everything, but we just can't really find a lot of information.
Hmm. Coming into a blended family, there's been a lot discussed on that. We know it's a challenge, and what I typically hear is I didn't know until after I got married some of the things that I thought it was going to be easier than it turned out to be. But they're getting started in a new blended family. What are some things, Todd, you've worked with blended families that Chris and his new wife can be doing to help make it smoother into this blending process?
Absolutely. Be real honest, first and foremost, about expectations. Specifically talk about parenting philosophy, discipline as it relates to parenting, who's going to discipline and what form of discipline will take place, what are the rules. You know, I often tell people that, you know, you've got to work hard to blend them in before you run the risk of mixing them up. Because mm-hmm. if you don't do that groundwork ahead of time, you're bound to, you know, hit some pretty difficult waves in the ocean. So I think having open, honest, and direct communication, and if you can lower those expectations or just know what the expectations are, modify as necessary, that will go a long way.
I guess I'd ask you, listener, what do you wish you had known before you got married that you'd pass on to someone else who's listening in a positive way? Maybe you're hurting. Maybe it was a marriage didn't work out. You wish you had known or done in a different way. I'd love to have you come and join 888-888-1717. My friend Dr. Todd Lindemann is here, and we're talking about reasons not to get married and hopefully reasons for you to stay married intentionally. And intentional living is really being animated to move our lives in such a way that would be consistent with the DNA in our lives. I say it's a life beyond belief. Believing is not enough. We as Christians tell people that you need to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you'll be saved. That's what the scripture says. But it also goes on to say, as we're going to see in a few minutes, that if we don't have the works in our life, if we don't have the evidence, then what good is our faith?
You know, let me just add another verse to that clip from the topic this month, our featured lesson on spiritual DNA. It comes from the book of Ephesians, where the Apostle Paul gives us a very clear message in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 through 10, where he says, listen, you and I, we have been saved by grace through faith, and that not of ourselves. It is a gift of God, lest anyone should boast. Put into the common language, it's, hey, you're not getting saved because of anything you do. You're not getting into heaven because of your looks or your finances or your good works. It's a gift of God. But he goes on to say in verse 10, however, you have been made by a master for good works long before we were born. And those good works are not only the things we think of, you know, helping a neighbor and sharing water with a person in need or helping serve at church, but the good works of being the kind of father that we need to be the kind of husband we need to be, and really be obedient to what the scripture teaches. God gets the glory, and listen, the trickle-down benefit in our life is huge. And that's what intentional living is all about. We're seeing lives radically changed as people decide to take on the challenge of one thing for the next 30 days to grow, to break inertia, and to build that kind of momentum in their life. And you're helping us reach people and see lives, young and old, brought closer to Christ, and many times saved for the very first time in a relationship with Him. Thank you for doing that. Thank you for standing with us. Your financial support is making a difference. I'm Dr. Randy Carlson. I'm asking you to do exactly what my wife and I do, and that's support this ministry. Just go to theintentionallife.com, theintentionallife.com, click on donate, or call during West Coast business hours, 888-888-1717. And thank you for your support.
My marriage, we struggled and struggled, and I would constantly pray for the Lord to change my husband's heart. And in return, he changed my heart and tendered my heart. And my husband and I have the most amazing marriage. Dr. Randy actually, a long time ago, had a program on where a lady wanted to leave her husband, and he said for 30 days to do things to please him and see how that went. And I did that, and just the Lord is just working amazingly in our life.
Dr. Todd Lindemann is here in the studio with me live today, president and founder of Relational Advantage, a licensed psychologist, executive coach, and really good at what he does. We wanted him to come and help us today. Todd, people are thinking about getting married and thinking of some of the issues to watch out for. And one of the things on my top 10 list was, hey, listen, don't get married, and certainly don't marry if you are an abusive person or the person you're thinking about marrying is an abusive person mentally, emotionally, or physically. Because if they are before you get married, they'll be more so after you get married.
That's right. And a lot of times people, again, rationalize and say, you know, they will change after we get married. We'll have less stress after we get married. And that's just not the case. Usually people, whatever they're struggling with prior to marriage that might motivate or influence any kind of abuse is likely to show up in spades after the wedding.
Hmm. You know, I wrote down here, too, an unwillingness to commit. Some people just can't commit.
That's right.
You know, they intend to, or they get married, but they don't have that commitment part of their personality or who they are. How do you do this in terms of dating? How do you engage other people or assessment? Premarital counseling, we've both done it.
Mm-hmm.
That's good. Very positive.
Absolutely.
But sometimes they're starstruck at that point, mm-hmm. you know. What are some practical things someone who says, hey, I want to do this right, do it God's way, that they can enlist the support of others to help them in this process?
Well, I think that's just it, enlisting others to support them in the process. ask tough questions. What do you observe about my partner here? What do you think their strengths are? What do you think their weaknesses are? I want to have an objective point of view. Obviously praying about it and asking God to reveal to you what really motivates you to get married. Because again, there are so many things that drive us to get married that don't have a lot to do with our partner, quite frankly. And after the marriage, you know, we realize that, boy, those motivations are gone and now I'm with this partner. And so I think asking those questions, taking assessments, needs assessment, temperament assessments, like the prepare and enrich, for example, that allows you to see what your partner thinks about important issues like communication, finances, parenting, the sexual relationship. The more awareness you have, the more informed you are, the more you can trust your decision making.
Yeah, and people over the years have told us, man, in fact, we got one of the comments. We're going to record another program when we're done here, and one of the comments is from a woman who basically says, I can't trust myself. I've been through 3 marriages, and I keep picking losers, and so I've just given up. I'm going to stay single and trust God, and I'm happier than ever, and that's good for her. But what do you have to know about yourself in this process of making the decision on this is a person that I should be involved with or not?
Well, it's critically important that you have self-awareness. And the better your self-awareness, the better you can trust your other awareness. And when you can, you know, be objective with regard to what you see, strengths, weaknesses in your partner, that just allows you to be more trusting. When you also have confidence in yourself, and you can't have confidence unless you're self-aware. So it's very, very important to be able to point out the weaknesses in yourself and focus on what you want to shore up so that you can trust your judgment and ultimately your decision making.
Yeah, it's a big decision.
It is.
This is a bigger decision than where am I having lunch today, right? Yeah, it's a lifetime thing. We're talking about marriage today, and we're going to stay in the studio. If you're available for another half hour, we're going to record a program that will air later on down the road. So you're welcome to call and join those who have been calling. Maybe you have a question or a comment about this, something you've learned you'd like to share with others. Give us a call, 888-888-1717, 888-888-1717. My objective on this program today, my hope, the one thing, is that something will have sparked in your mind if you're not married, something will spark in your heart if you're not married, that will cause you to pray a little deeper, think a little longer, get a little more advice, and take it slowly and make the right decision. If you are married and you find that something we've said today is sort of a trigger point for you to say, that's my one thing, and I make a declaration today to work on that area in our marriage and seek what God has for us, because we certainly are pro-marriage here at Intentional Living. So again, Todd, thanks for being here.
Thank you.
And we'll be back again tomorrow here at Intentional Living. Hope you'll come and join us. We'll have another helpful day for you from our center every day, helping us live an intentional life in Christ.